Eric Rhodes, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you have blazed an amazing trail of companies and media brands and business turnarounds, broadcast enterprises around the country since you graduated from the Fort Wayne Community School System nearly 45 years ago. Now you're passing through for an art show you're in at Castle Gallery. I guess you come by that serial entrepreneur moniker, honestly, then?
That's what I've been told.
Where does this passion come from?
Well, I have kind of a couple of passions. One is entrepreneurial, building businesses and so on. And that came from my dad. And then the art side came from my mom.
What a wonderful, wonderful blend.
Yep. So I kind of had that tug of war. The entrepreneurial side won, but I was doing a different kind of art. I fell in love with radio. So I started out on the radio when I was a kid, 14 years old, and pursued radio as a career, built a lot of business in the radio industry. I'm still in it, actually. And then the art side started coming out again when I was about 40. I started thinking, you know, there's more to life than this. I think we all do when we get to about that stage. So I started painting. And from that came this whole new career in art.
Now, you obviously are at the right place at the right time for a lot of this stuff, and it sounds like your batting average is kind of off the charts. How do you do that? How do you choose what you might look for or do next?
I am not a big believer in luck. I'm a big believer in making your own luck. So I think that the key, something my dad taught me a long time ago, is that you always have your eyes open for opportunity, because opportunity comes to you when you least expect it. Something I actually am going to be writing about in my Sunday morning blog. I look for the difficult times and look to those difficult times and realize that in them there's opportunity. You know, it's kind of that old yin and yang, positive, negative. Is when the negative happens, that's when the growth occurs. And sometimes the best things in life come out of the negatives. But a lot of people look at those negatives as, you know, they're victims. Oh, why is this happening to me? Instead of looking at it as saying, this is happening to me. There's something around the corner. There's an opportunity because of this. And this will give me the contrast. This will help me see that things are about to change.
Sounds like you're a philosopher mixed into your other skill set.
Well, I do that. You know, I do the Sunday morning blog every week. It's up to a couple 100,000 readers. And I use that as an opportunity to talk about life philosophy, no particular agenda, just kind of things that I happen to be thinking about that particular day.
Now, you need extreme business skills and drive to accomplish all of this, Eric. What would you say the most important tools you have in your arsenal are?
I think it's just being curious. I'm just insatiably curious. I read everything I can get my hands on. I was at the lobby out at Sweetwater this morning, and there were magazines there about an industry that I don't know or understand. And I was picking up those magazines and saying, how can I apply this to me? Is there something in here I can learn? So I think just having insatiable curiosity is where everything comes from.
Great point. And do you ever feel overwhelmed by what you don't know?
No, I feel overwhelmed by what I do know.
Fair enough. Okay, since it's all about communication for you, Derek, how do you see radio fitting into maybe even defining the 21st century? You've seen it for a while now.
This is a kind of a frustrating thing that occurs. You know, I've spent my life in and around the radio industry, and there is always a new shiny object that everybody predicts is going to replace radio. I remember back in the 70s, they said, you know, once we all have CB radios in our car, nobody will listen to radio anymore. Then it was the 8-track, then it was the cassette, and then it was the CD, and, you know, now it's online radio, and now it's Pandora and Spotify, and all of these things are wonderful. None of these things have ever replaced radio. Radio plays an important part in the lives of people. You know, 97% of the people in America listen to the radio every single day. And that doesn't mean that because they listen to music on Spotify or Apple or other things that they don't listen to the radio. But the people who are predicting these things, they're saying, you know, radio is going to be dead. I don't believe that radio is going to be dead. I think radio changes. Everything changes whenever there's a technological change in the world. You know, everything changes. Radio's been stable. It's an old medium. And I have always written that if radio were invented today and you had all this technology, but you could do something that follows you around, that's with you all the time, that you can listen to while you're working, while you're doing other things, while you're at the beach, while you're driving in the car, et cetera, people would go, wow, this is a cool new medium. So I don't necessarily think that it's over for radio. I do think that radio as an industry has to adapt. They have to understand that they have to exist in a digital world, and they have to find a way to make that digital world work for their advertisers or sponsors or underwriters, etc.
And that's one of the things that you really do specialize in or work with people around the world, just in those aspects, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I work with a lot of radio companies and a lot of radio stations. Or, you know, I write. I have a magazine called Radio Inc. I have another one called Radio Television Business Report. And then we have a new one, which is called Podcast Business Journal. Podcasting is obviously hot. You do it. I do it. You know, it's a phenomenon. But very rarely does anything get completely replaced. And I think the key to anything is remaining relevant. There are a lot of people in this town and other towns who have their favorite personalities, such as yourself, and those personalities are what drive listening. A radio personality is somebody you feel like you've gotten to know. You know, you listen, how many years have you been on the air? And people listen to you, they look forward to listening to you because you bring something to them that's important to their lives.
Indeed, and yes, all staples should travel well into the 21st century, to be sure. Now, regarding your personal artwork, what does creating it do for you, Derek?
The creation of artwork for me is almost a form of meditation. It's very spiritual. I can go out to my studio, or I can just go out to my car and get in the car and drive somewhere and paint. I'm a plein air painter as well. And I can lose all my stress. If I have a really tremendously stressful day, I've got a big company, I've got a lot of employees, I've got, you know, a lot of decisions that have to be made. And sometimes they're tough decisions. You know, sometimes it's about people's lives. And you have really stressful moments. You can't always avoid stress. But I can pull out a photograph or look out the window and do a painting. And within 5 minutes, I've lost my stress because it's using a different part of my brain. It's engaging me. We actually created a program for Vietnam veterans, and actually all veterans who have PTSD. The idea is that these are people who are so stressed out because they were trained to be reactive at a second's notice on something that they still have those reactions in their lives 30, 40 years later. And by using a different part of their brain, when we teach them to paint, I've got a couple hundred people around the country who are teaching vets how to do painting. And when they are painting, they lose that stress. And they tell us, this is the first time in my life that I've been able to kind of get rid of the sense of always being on the alert and always having this sense of PTSD. So I think from that standpoint, you know, nobody has to become a good painter. And of course, not everybody has to paint, but they're getting the experience and the joy of painting, you know, and that helps them lose their stress. It helps them, you know, feel good about themselves, gives them some pride, or they're using their creativity. And then if they keep practicing, you know, I've been painting for 25 years now, and I'm still not where I want to be, but I feel like I'm in a place where I feel at least I'm producing some things that I can be proud of. You know, it took a lot of years to get there, but I had a lot of joy throughout all of it. It's not so much all frustration.
Bottom line, you want to paint. That's it.
Yeah.
It's all about that.
Yeah. And for me, because I'm a plein air painter, I have tried to lead this movement of plein air painters. It's the largest movement in the history of art. Plein air is a French term that means outdoors. And Plein Air magazine is now the largest selling magazine at Barnes & Noble nationally, going outdoors to paint, painting on location. When you have that experience, what's magical for me is I'm in nature. You know, I am where our creator put us, and I'm looking at trees and rivers and rocks and mountains, and I'm trying to replicate that on canvas. To me, that is the ultimate art experience. It's one thing when I'm in the studio and I'm painting from a photograph or from a small painting I've done at what I call a study, but it's another thing to be outdoors. I mean, it's just spectacular. And what I also love about the whole plein air painting movement is that people go out and paint together. And so I'm always with friends and we're always laughing. I hold events and people come with me and we travel the world and we paint together. And it's just nothing more satisfying as far as I'm concerned.
She says, yeah, you do follow your heart. And there's seemingly no stopping you and you're not done yet. I get that too. Now, if you could add anything to your field of activity, something you've never done before, you know, what would it be?
Well, I have a lot of things that I want to do. I want to build two museums. I want to build one museum on the plein air movement that's taking place in the world today, which will go down in history as a significant art movement. Secondarily, there's a movement of young people today that are painting in the style of a Rembrandt or a Sargent, very, very academically correct. It's a huge movement, and I want to create a museum to document what this movement is all about. I want to create a museum of the greatest plein air painters of this movement and the greatest artists of this movement, the living artists today, because they're not getting the recognition they deserve. The art industry is still very much dominated on the modern side. So my intent is to either raise the money myself through my own business or to find people who agree with me and want to participate in that and create something in a place that will get a lot of attention and bring attention to this art so that people can enjoy it.
That is really such a noble goal, and it does sound like you're on the right track, and you know you're on the right track, so it's just fitting all the pieces together and then proceeding.
Well, all it takes is money.
Now, that is very, very exciting. And last question, Eric. Fort Wayne has certainly benefited from the many enterprises that you have developed over all of these years. You've seen what we've been doing here from afar. Now you are back and you're up close and personal. What do you think of the Fort Wayne art scene, Eric?
I met with some people this morning who asked me to help grow the Fort Wayne art scene, to look for opportunities. And I think that we have to figure out how to bring a sense of New York or LA here and the standards of New York or LA to Fort Wayne. If we use New York or LA standards and make that what Fort Wayne's all about, we'll turn it into a lightning rod and we'll bring a lot of people here. Start with leading and doing something that's completely different and look for opportunities to bring the highest quality people here, even though it might be at higher expense. If you bring the best people in, the others will follow.
Eric Rhodes, a Fort Wayne native, is a multifaceted artist and entrepreneur now living in Austin. Eric, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. Safe travels and happy trails now, and do carry that gift.
Thank you. It's great to be home.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.